بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And alhamdulillah, last week we had the opportunity to discuss the second passage of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, and that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained about Kitab Al-Fujjar and the ending of the Fujjar. The Fujjar, we said, are those that rebel against Allah Azza wa Jal's command, not knowing any limit. So one door of sin opens another door of sin, and it keeps opening, and you know, really they see pride in doing sins and transgressing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And that passage was concluded with three punishments we discussed that Allah Azza wa Jal gives these fujjar. And that was, the first one was, who can remind us? They don't get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. What was the second one? That was the third one. What's the second? Right, they will enter the hellfire. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. And we said لَصَالُ صَلِي means that they burn in the fire. And the last one was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not speak to them. And we took that from the language where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ثُمَّ يُقَالُ هَذَا. It'll be said. In other words, the one that said this is not mentioned in the ayah, which already alludes that they do not hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not hear His voice. And you know, this happens a lot in the Quran, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says waqila, waqila. You know, this qila, it is said, it has said. Qila adkhulu abwaaba jahannam. It'll be said, enter the gates of the fire. So these are three punishments, and at the same time, opposite to them are three rewards of the believers. So they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will be away from the fire, and they will hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's move on. The scene takes a shift, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks to us about the abrar, the believers, the righteous people. He says, "Kalla inna kitab al-abrar lafi 'illiyin." In the previous surah, Surah Al-Infitar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. There was a mention of abrar in the previous surah. He said, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Certainly the righteous are surely in continuous blessings. The word لَفِي, لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, this word لَفِي, it means surely they are in. And it suggests that right now they're in na'im, and in the future they will be in na'im. So in this world they're in na'im. When they die, they're in their grave. And they see their place in the paradise through a window from the grave. That's na'im. Then on the day of judgment, they're under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shade of the throne. That's na'im. Then they enter the paradise, that's na'im. Then they will have whatever they desire, that's na'im. So continuous blessings, that's lafi na'im. This was in the previous surah. And this is amazing that Allah says this, because the abrar, the righteous people, in this world it doesn't look like they're in 100% na'im. Right? So the abrar before us, even the companions, there's no doubt that these people were from the abrar, from the righteous. We'll get to this word for a second. But they went through hardship and through torture and through suffering. So what exactly does Allah mean when He says they are in na'im right now? Where they're in blessing. We're going to answer this question, inshallah, when this same ayah repeats itself, another two ayat down, inshallah ta'ala. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explains the position and the reward of the abrar in this surah in detail. So in the surah before, there was only one ayah. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ then وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. But in this surah, 10 ayat are dedicated to describe the situation and to describe the position and the reward of al-abrar, as we're going to share inshallah ta'ala with you, and hopefully that's all we'll share with you today. So Allah begins this discourse. He says, kalla, kalla. No, not at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to the kuffar here. He's responding to the disbelievers, those that make fun at the believers and make fun at the Qur'an, as we read before. Asatir al-awwalin, they used to say. And besides that, the kuffar used to deny the day of judgment and they denied the punishment, they also used to make fun of the idea of paradise. That's something else they used to deny. The, you know, the, these Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran, it speaks about unimaginable things. It's speaking about mansions, about houses, about being served drinks. You know, it's speaking about bird meat. It's speaking about servants. It's speaking about hur'een. What is all this? This is all garbage. To the kuffar, this is how they not only denied the punishment and the day of judgment, they also made fun at the idea of the paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this discourse. He says, kalla, this is a response to the false accusations they have about the reward and about paradise. Meaning he's saying, kalla, the paradise and reward is something true. And the believers are going to have this. Not what you say, this is real. This is something that is coming later on. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. Certainly the record, the book of the righteous is going to be in عِلِّيِّين. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the righteous with the word al-abrar. And al-abrar comes from the word bir. Bir means to be dutiful. You know, you hear the phrase birrul walidain, being dutiful to your parents. A bar is someone who is dutiful. Now you can also have the word beginning with a fatha, which will give you bar. And bar literally means land. That's bar. It means land. So now, what is the connection between righteous people and land? You see, when you stand on land, you're standing on something stable, something solid, something not shaky. So al-abrar were called al-abrar. Righteous people were called al-abrar because their iman is solid. You know, it's stable. It's like land. It's like you're standing on land. It's firm. And opposite to land is ocean. You know, if you're in the ocean, you're drowning. You're sort of floating. You're up and down. You're swimming. There's tiredness. It portrays the other meaning, other than abrar, someone that's drowning in their faith. So Allah refers to the righteous as al-abrar, coming from the word bar. It's suggesting that these people are solid in their iman. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna kitab al-abrari lafi'liyin," that the book of these righteous, their book, their record, is going to be in illiyin. Illiyin comes from the word ulu. And ulu, basically, it means something that's high, at a height. And what Allah is saying in the ayah is that the book of the righteous will be in the company of the high, will be with the angels in the highest of levels in the paradise. And we know that the higher the angel in the paradise, the higher the angel, the more noble he is, the more responsibility they have. You know, previously in Surah Abasa, we read, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَ كِرَامٍ barara. There, Allah was speaking about the angels who have access and who guard the Qur'an. But in this surah, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about another group of angels. These angels are also high, and they are protecting. This time they're not guarding and protecting the Quran. This group of angels is guarding the book of the righteous. Is guarding the book, Kitab al-Abrar. And Allah says that this Kitab al-Abrar, lafi illiyin. That's where it is. And يعني in Safwat al-Tafasir, there's a very great meaning that comes with this. He says, illiyin is a very high place. And it's an honored place in the highest places of Al-Jannah, in the highest places of the paradise. And some say Illiyin refers to the high positioned angels that guard this book. And some say that Illiyin is the book itself. But let me share with you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he speaks about the soul of the believer and he mentions Illiyin in it. So we can have a good idea of what Illiyin is. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he narrates this hadith unto his companions, and he says that when the soul of the believer comes out of his body, the angels will ascend with this soul. And each group of angels they pass, these people, these angels will ask them, what is this beautiful soul? And the angels will respond, this is the son of so and so, naming him in the best names he was known in this world. Until they reach the first sky. And they will seek permission for the doors to be open, so this soul of the Abrar, this soul of righteous believer, could come in. So the door is opened. And the group of angels pass this soul to another group of angels, who pass it on to the second level, who pass that on to the third level. And another group of angels take that soul and pass it to the fifth level, until they reach the seventh sky. Once they reach the seventh sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Uktubu kitaba abdi fi 'illiyin." Write the book of my servant, write the book of my slave in 'illiyin. So in other words, this hadith taught us that 'illiyin is a very high place in the paradise. It's right beneath the arsh. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ. You know, this creates a shock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what will give you any clue as to what عِلِّيُّون really is? You know, in other words, he's saying, look around. Look around as much as you want. You will never find a clue to really give you an understanding of what Illiyun is really, where it is, and where this place is, and what's held in there. But these ayat that are going to come, at least are going to give us a glimpse of what happens in Illiyun. Something. Not the whole scenario. Not of what everything that's happening in Illiyun. Ayat are going to come to explain to us exactly what goes on in Illiyun. And as we said, when Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ, it creates a shock. You know, for example, someone comes out of court and you ask him, how many years did they give you? Say, 20 years. Then he responds, 20 years. You know, that question, of course, we all know what 20 years is. But it's the shock. What do you mean 20 years? You don't comprehend this. You can't take this in. So the same thing when Allah says, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. He mentioned Illiyin, but then he stopped for a moment. Do you really know what it is all about? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُونَ. What will really give you a clue what this thing is? Now let's hear and let's see what actually happens in Illiyun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. Now كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, this is a description of كِتَاب الْأَبْرَارِ. And Allah mentioned, إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ. Now he says, Kitabun Marqum, in other words, Kitabun Marqum is describing this book of Al-Abrar. Kitabun Marqum means that this book of the believers is a book that is written in thick, clear writing, and it's imprinted and it's stitched in the book in such a way that it cannot be erased and it'll never be forgotten. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells us what's happening in Illiyin. He says, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Really interesting. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the angels will be witness to this record, to this book that has the deeds of al-abrar, that has the deeds of the righteous. Basically, these angels, they are guarding this book in illiyun. Why are the angels guarding this book? Because it contains in them the guarantee and the access for the believers to enter paradise. Here, there's the proof. It's in this book. So they guard this book. So when you come on the day of judgment, here's your card. Go into the paradise. So the book is guarded. And let me just paint to you an image of what really يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ means. Pay attention and listen to this example. You know, in this world, if one of you, I'm sure there's fathers here, if you have a son and a daughter that have done exceedingly well at school, they have passed their exams, outstanding results, you know, first in class or in university, 100% in math, 100% in biology, and they've topped the grades and the ranks and the class they're in. You know what the father will do? He'll take pride in his son, right? He'll take honor in this. He'll see some honor in this. And he'll show it off to his friends and to his relatives and to his family. He'll tell them about his son or his daughter, mashallah, my son, first in class and high distinction in this and that. And what we can describe the emotion of the father is that he's extremely happy and he's content and he's so pleased with his son or his daughter. And on top of all this, he might even frame the certificates, the reports, you know, and might hang them up on the wall. And even more than this, he might even take his son and daughter and buy him something, right? A present for their outstanding results. Now, I want you to think of this. The book of Al-Abrar, the book of the righteous, that is their certificate. That's your certificate. And that's their report card. And that's their record. And it contains in it all their righteous actions and all their righteous words, all their good deeds, all their prayers, the fasting, the sadaqat, the walking to the masjid, you name it, any hasana. It is written in this kitab al-abrar. You know who takes pride in this book? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes pride in this book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows it off to the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows off this book, Kitab al-Abrar, to the angels. He says to them, look at my servant. Look at his certificate. What's written in it? Look at this fasting on that very hot day. Look at the prayers he used to pray. Look at the night prayer there, that one. You know, look at the sunnah prayers he had before and after. Look at the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he had during his lonely time. Look at the tears he shed for my sake during the night. Look at the footsteps he took to the masjid, every single footstep. It's recorded, it's in that book. Maybe as you walk to the masjid, your footprint on the floor is erased in 3-4 minutes. It's gone, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's there. And he takes pride in this, and he shows it to the angels. Every single footstep that was followed, that followed a funeral, followed a janazah, or walked to visit a sick. When was the last time you visited the sick? You know, all the footsteps that were taken to call others to this deen, all the footsteps that were taken in jihad to raise the word of La ilaha illallah, all these footsteps that were taken also to attend lessons and to learn something about this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he takes pride in this. And he shows off all your good deeds and all your sacrifices you made to him. He shows it off to the angels. And thus they witness it. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Now we understand the ayah. This is how they witness it. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives them access to see these certificates and these report cards. You know, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Arafah, He says to His angels, look at my slaves, atawni shu'fan ghubra. They've come to Arafah. Look at them, they're all dirty and there's all dust on their face and on their clothes. And then what does He say? Ushhidukum anni qad ghafartu lahum. You know, yubahi bihi malaikata. He takes pride in this. And he says, witness, O angels, that I've forgiven them all. So there is this concept and this idea of Allah Azza wa Jal making the angels witnesses to your good deeds. And when you die, this book is there. It's protected, it's guarded. That's your access. That's your card to enter paradise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. And this is a repetition of an ayah that came exactly the same way in the previous surah. Exactly the same. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. But we said in the previous surah that ayah was only mentioned once. Something about the abrar was only once. Now in this surah, after this, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, seven ayat are going to come now describing this na'im. But it is going to describe the na'im that the believers will enjoy in the paradise. And as I said, when you read إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, this لَفِي ظَرْف, ظَرْف الزَّمَان, it suggests that it is speaking about right now. Currently, as we're speaking, the abrar are already in continuous blessings. And it also gives the meaning of that they're in continuous blessings in the future. Now, the blessings that the abrar are in the future is what's going to be described in these ayat. What kind of blessing are they surrounded with in the paradise? But let me, as I promised you, to answer the question of what does Allah mean by saying لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, they're in blessings right now in this world. And like, put yourself with these ayat as they were being revealed. Hundreds of years ago, 1,400 years ago, when these ayat were coming down, it didn't look like that the Sahaba, the Abrar at that time, it didn't look like there was something you can refer to as na'im. This is being tortured. You know, Bilal radiallahu anhu, he's being tortured. Other companions are enslaved. Companions are thrown out of their houses. Their wealth is stolen. So what kind of na'im is this? So now, this is the understanding. There's no doubt, as we said, that these companions and people before us, and even people today, if they go through difficult situations, that's not the na'im that's intended. The na'im that's intended is that they have something special. And that is that they have Islam and Iman in their heart, which no one else shares and no one else has except the believers. This in itself is na'im. So long as you're a Muslim, so long as you are waking up on Kalimat al-Tawheed saying La ilaha illallah, then you're in a continuous blessing. It is a blessing that you wake up and you sleep as a believer. And so this is the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, the abrar there in continuous blessing. This enough in itself is a blessing. You know that you hear sometimes when some of the speakers or lecturers, they give a lesson, they say, Alhamdulillah, the best ni'mah we're in is Islam. And the best ni'mah after this is that we're guided to the right path. You know, as opposed to the rest of the sects of Islam. But this is the ni'mah, this is the biggest ni'mah. And so as a Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us something profound. He says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ فِي خَيْرٍ إِنْ أَصَابَهُ ضَرَّاءَ صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. You know, amazing are the affairs of the believers. If something bad was to happen to him, it just apparently looks bad, Allah says that this bad is good for him, because he's patient towards it, and patience gets you reward. So that calamity was good for you, because it made you grow in patience, and it gave you a reward for your patience. That's a ni'mah. Or if something good was to happen to him, on the other hand, he thanks Allah for this good, for this blessing. And because he thanked Allah, he's rewarded for his gratitude towards Allah, and that's better for him. So the believer's affairs can't go wrong. Both of them are in blessing. Both of them make him grow in his hasanat and in his ranks in the paradise. So the believer, he's always in blessing. You know, let's take the worst case scenario. Even if you're sick and you're in hospital and you're on that bed and you're staying here for weeks and months, that's good. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us, when you walk in and visit a sick, what are the first words you say to him? You say, what? La ba's. That's the first thing you say, la ba's. What does la ba's mean? You know what it means? Basically it means no worries. You're walking in there and the sick person, he's feeling down and he's ill and he's sad, he's depressed. And you're walking in and the sunnah is to say to him, no worries. Why cheer up? Why are you upset for? Why are you like this for? And then you add to it, tahuran insha'Allah. This is a cleanser for you insha'Allah. This is cleaning you from your sayyat. You know? It's cleaning you up. So actually you're in a ni'mah. You're in a blessing. And the salaf radiallahu anhum, if many days would pass by them and they were never affected, or there was no calamity that fell upon them, they'd started feeling bad about themselves. Why hasn't anything bad happened to me yet? Or why hasn't a calamity hit me yet? That means there's some punishment stored for me later on. It's going to hit me one time. You know? So the best form of cleansing is in this world. When Allah sends down to you trouble and calamities, Allah knows your pain. Allah knows your suffering. And you're a believer and He knows this. But He only put this upon you so He can get rid of your sayyat in this world. Because you don't want Him to clean your sayyat somewhere else in the grave. That's even worse. So He, it's good. So that's a ni'mah in itself. Inna al-abrara lafi na'im. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we said, inna al-abrara lafi na'im. That was one of the side we answered right now. How is this na'im in this world? We just answered this. Now, also this ayah suggests that they're also in na'im, in continuous blessing in the hereafter, in the paradise. So now seven ayat are going to come to give us a glimpse. Just something small. Something we can just sort of read and ponder about and sort of encourage ourselves. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll put these ayat in perspective for you. So you can really, really appreciate the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this now, the beginning of it, beginning of this blessing. He says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. These abar are going to be on cushions. Al-ara'ik, this is a plural of arika. Arika is a chair, or it's a throne, or it's like a large couch that is full of cushions. And you recline on this. You can recline on it and you relax on it. And then he says, yanvurun. They will be looking around. Now, the thing to notice here, when you're relaxing and you're sitting back, you know, you're reclining, you're relaxed on your chair, you can look around. You can look around, right? But your view is limited. For example, if you're sitting comfortably in the seat of your car, you're sitting in the car and you're comfortable, you're reclined back in the car, and then someone in the car says, oh wow, look at that. You have to move sort of to look outside the window to see what there is. Or you're sitting in an office in a building and someone is saying, oh wow, look outside the window. You need to move from your chair and look around to see what's outside the window. In other words, you have to move. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala See, look how he puts it. He says they will be reclined looking around. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal has designed this chair or has designed this couch in such a way, in such a manner that when you sit back and relax, you get the best view. يَنْظُرُونَ, you know. You can see basically everything. They only see the bliss and they have a full view of this bliss and this blessing on the araik itself. They don't have to move. You know, now you walk into your car, it takes you about what, half an hour just to adjust the seat. And then even then it's not comfortable, you have to move around if you wanted to see something beautiful outside. But the ayah is suggesting that the chair in itself, that's how it's designed. You don't have to move your head to see. You've got the best view right at that seat where you're sitting. Now the other thing is, when you look somewhere, your eyes are focused to one thing, at that beautiful thing. Someone tells you, look right here, you look right there, where the good thing is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is He saying? That the abrar lafi na'im, they're in that blessing. So that blessing is all around them. It's not like they're somewhere and the blessing is somewhere. They're inside of that blessing. So they're already inside that wonderful scene that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided from in front of them, behind, left, right, front, back, wherever it is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ. You will recognize in their faces a nadra. Nadra is the lighting up of one's face. Nadra, you can see the freshness in someone's face, the happiness, the joy in someone's face. You know, this is nadra. Nadra is also used in the Arabic language referring to fresh and ripe fruits and vegetables. But in the Quran, when nadra comes, it's only referring to the faces. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks to us about their face. He says that the faces of these abrar, as they're sitting reclining on this couch, it's lit. You know, it's fresh. They're just happy to be there. You know, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but when you go to Mecca and Medina, and you see like a lot of these third world countries that eventually people from there end up making it into Mecca, and they've been saving all their life, and eventually they've got to Mecca, and just when they see that Kaaba, that smile on the face, that is nadra. You know, it's just fresh. It's just happy to be. This is nadra. So they're reclining on the couches, and their faces are fresh and they're lit up. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds to this an adjective. He says nadratan na'im. These blissful things they are seeing, they're looking at blessings and at blissful things, and that's where the light on their face is coming from. You know, this is nadrat al-na'im. They look at the na'im and their face becomes lit up. The drinks they see, the face lights up. You know, the rivers they see, the mansions, the meat, the fruit, the servants, the hur'een, anything they see in the paradise, and above all this, they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is actually what makes the face fresh, full of color, and lit up. And the faces only get brighter and brighter as they look at these things. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now He speaks about the service that these abrar are given in the paradise. These services that are at their disposal whenever they want this. Allah says in the next ayah after this, He says, يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. They will be given to drink. You know, they will be given to drink. They don't have to get up. Allah doesn't say yasqoon. You know, yasqoon comes somewhere else in the Quran. And yasqoon would mean you have to get up and go drink yourself. You go to the fridge and you got to get the bottle and you got to fill in the cup and you drink. But yusqoon suggests that they will be given to drink. And in another place in the Quran, Allah tells us who these are. These are the servants, the children in the paradise that go around serving drinks to the inhabitants of the paradise. You know, they have the bottle and the cups, and they fill them up and they serve them to the believers. And on top of all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives them the drink. You know, this comes in Surah Al-Insan, inshallah ta'ala. When we get there, we can explain it in detail. So, yusqawn, they will be given to drink. Now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already set the scene up, you know, they're sitting on that couch, they're reclining, they're relaxing, you don't get up, they will be given to drink. Now, what are they given to drink? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ. Rahiq. Rahiq is the pure, the most purest possible wine or drink. It is the most, it's crystal clear. You can see right through it. And it is, it's got, you know, great texture and great color to it. And it doesn't make you drunk. This is the wine. This is the wine that's given in the paradise to the believers. And other comments say that it has a very beautiful smell to it as well. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rahiqin Makhtum. Makhtum literally means it's sealed off. It's closed off, you know. Also, Makhtum gives the meaning of that it's full and then it's sealed. Full and sealed. Just like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He was the seal of all prophets. What does that mean? It means that his message, the Islam, it's full. There's no more space to fill in more into Islam. It's full, and he is the seal of this message and of this deen. So it has, so Rahiq in Makhtum, this drink that they're given, it has a kind of a seal on it that is original and that it's only meant for you to open. And it has never and it will never be opened by anyone else except you. So Rahiq in Makhtum is these beautiful wine bottles that are tasty. Allah mentions in another surah, لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ, has a great taste to it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something about this seal. Something about the seal that closes the bottle. And it's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. You know, but before I mention this with you, I want to take you into perspective of these ayat as they're coming down. So let's just go back a little bit to the Meccan seerah for a moment before we explain this seal. You know, the believers, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, at the time when they're in Mecca, they're not in a position of power. They're actually in position of weakness, and they're being made fun of and they're being insulted. And these ayat that we're reciting and sharing with you now, these ayat in Surah Al-Mutaffifin are being recited onto the disbelievers, right? The believers are taking these ayat from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they're reciting them. And who's listening? The disbelievers are listening. And these ayat are saying that ثُمَّ يُقَالُ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. These ayat are basically telling the disbelievers that if you don't stop from your tatfif, this is going to end you up in Jahannam. You know? And this mockery you're making about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and about the prophets and about this Qur'an, it's going to end you up in Jahannam. This is what the companions are reading in the time of weakness. And when the disbelievers hear this, you know what comes in their mind? What comes in their mind is sort of looking down at this person. Who are you to tell me where am I going? You know, who are you? You're a companion. Or for example, in Bilal radiallahu anhu's case, you're a black slave. You're telling me what's right and what's wrong. You're telling me where I'll end up if I still do what I'm doing. Who are you to judge me? You know, get lost. This is the mind of the disbeliever as he hears these ayat. This is the attitude. That's what the kuffar have towards the believers. Now, you can imagine the sahabi, the companions radiallahu anhum, as he's making da'wah to the disbelievers, and as he's reciting these ayat, he's consistently being insulted. And not only him, the message also, the Qur'an itself is being insulted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives the companions just a few words to keep them encouraged, motivated, and to keep them moving forward in this da'wah. He tells them, you know what drinks, you know? He tells them, you know, what drinks do these kuffar have? Let me tell you of drinks I have for you in the paradise. You know, let me tell you what I have in store for you later on. Your record is going to be in Illiyin. And you can't even imagine what Illiyun really is, because Allah already told them this. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا Illiyun. Then Allah says to them, I'm going to take pride in your good deeds, and I'll show it to the angels that are the highest in the highest positions of the paradise. How encouraged is the Sahabi now? How strong is he going to be in his da'wah? He's being encouraged. Allah is encouraging him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're going to be reclining on a couch, on comfortable couches. You have the best view. And you're going to be served drinks that are sealed just for you. Subhanallah, what is the believer, what is the companion actually thinking of? You know, the sealed drinks being served. Man, the elite of Quraysh, they have to go to some well and pull out the water. No one gets this royal service. But Allah is telling them, you're going to have this. And He says that this seal, now He describes the seal. You know, how encouraged are the Sahaba right now? This is really incredible ayat. He says, khitamuhu misk. Khitamuhu misk. That the seal of this bottle is from musk. Just the smell of the seal is a very beautiful smell. The smell of the seal. Khitamuhu misk. The drink hasn't been opened yet. A smell is coming out just from the seal that you're going to open and throw up eventually. You're going to throw out. This is only the seal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. Then He says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Then in that, let those who compete, they should be competing in this. This is worth competing for. This is something you should be running towards. Subhanallah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just draws this image. Just being there in that luxury, you know. Now, no matter how much the kafir speaks, no matter how much Quraysh insult the believers and the companions, it doesn't harm them. Because the believer, what does he see in front of him? He sees the paradise. He sees these blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about. So he's racing to get there. You know, this is what's in their mind. يَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. You know, tanafus, it comes from the word nafasa, which also gives the meaning of the thing, which is شَيْءٌ nafis. The Arabs would say شَيْءٌ nafis, meaning something really elegant, you know. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He's telling them and telling us to run towards that elegant thing, towards that classy thing. And everyone wants this. And everyone is competing towards this. So the companions, now think of this now. The companions, as they're being tortured, and as they're being made fun of, and as they're being enslaved, and they're being thrown out of their house, what are they doing? They're nudging each other, and they're saying, who's going to get there first? You know? فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Who's going to beat me? Who's going to get to the couch first? Who's going to get to that bottle and open it before who? And the disbeliever that's torturing, he sees this smile on his face. He doesn't know what's going on. You know? What's wrong with this guy? The more I torture him, the more he's laughing. Because the kafir, he doesn't know what he's thinking of. That's what he's looking towards. Allah, what is Allah speaking about? He's just a bottle that's got drink in it. That's all he's speaking about. And it's enough to put that much iman in the companion's heart to make him move so much forward in Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us just a taste of this iman. Speaking about a bottle of wine that makes you encouraged all the way to live by Islam. Subhanallah, what kind of connection did the companion have with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, think of it like this. It gives it more texture, more flavor, more iman to the ayat. You know, you get insulted next time out on the street, or you get abused, or you get oppressed by the kuffar. Just, man, a bottle of wine should encourage you. That's all. And not only that, the seal. The smell of the seal is musk. This should encourage you. You know, we should be competing one another towards that. This is what the ayah teach us. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Now, incredible now. This is what the abrar have. This is the point they reach. Now there's a higher level than this. And this is the level of the muqarrabun. Now the mention, the ayat are going to come. So now listen to this. Allah takes your imagination further than this. We spoke about a bottle and the seal on the bottle. Now we're going to speak further than this now. Allah takes us one more degree ahead. And then He says, وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمٍ. SubhanAllah, amazing. وَمِزَاجُهُ. مِزَاجُهُ comes from the word مَزَجَ. The Arabs would say مَزَجَ الشَّرَاب. Meaning مَزَجَ means to mix. You know, when you mix the drink. Right? So you put cordial in the water. That's مَجْزُ الشَّرَاب. You're mixing the drink. You know, or you put the Milo to the milk or whatever and you stir it. That's basically the مَجْز. وَمِزَاجُهُ. What is it mixed with? Allah says it's mixed with something called tasneem. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ tasneem. Now tasneem is the drink itself. What's in the bottle is called tasneem. But tasneem also comes from the word sanam. And literally sanam is the hump of a camel. And the hump of the camel is the highest point of the camel. So tasneem means a very high place in the paradise. And it also means for something to be elevated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically what He's saying when He says وَمِزَاجُهُ مِنْ تَسْنِيمِ, He's saying the mixture of this drink, the mixture of this, whatever is in the bottle, it's being mixed, the addition is coming from a very high fountain, from a very high spring up somewhere there. So the abrar are here, and this bottle they're drinking from, it contains something of tasneem. Something of tasneem. That's the mixture, right? So you'll have 80% of water and 20% cordial. That 20% is the tasneem. You got to understand this. So 80% is something else. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Aina. Understand this so you can really appreciate what the second level is. Aynan. Aynan means a spring. In other words, tasneem aynan. That tasneem Allah just spoke about is a spring. It's a fountain. What does He say now? يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. It's a fountain that no one gets to drink from except the مُقَرَّبُونَ. The really, really closest to Allah. We'll speak about who the مُقَرَّبُونَ is. But just appreciate this now. The abrar are drinking this bottle that's mixed with something from tasneem, and they taste this tasneem. Where's this coming from, you know? And one another tells each other this is coming up from there. It's the tasneem is a spring right up there. And who's drinking from that directly? The muqarrabun. You see the second level? The abrar are having a mixture. But the muqarrabun are having full tasneem, which is this high river, this spring that is really, really close there to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. SubhanAllah. Allah said, يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. You know in Arabic, when you say you're drinking, you say, يَشْرَبُ مِن. يَشْرَبُ مِنَ الْكَأْسِ, for example. You say, I'm drinking from, مِن, from. So we were expecting, يَشْرَبُ مِنْهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. That the مُقَرَّبُونَ are drinking from this spring. But Allah doesn't say this. He said, يَشْرَبُ بِهَا الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. In other words, this illustrates, this is implying two things. The first thing it's implying is that biha is a zarf makan, it's a location. So we're understanding that they're sitting right next to this river, right next to this spring, this fountain, and they're drinking straight from it. Another meaning it gives us is that yartawi biha al-muqarrabun. They drink, and they're full from this. And by the way, you're not drinking because you're thirsty. It makes a big difference. You're drinking just for the taste, for the pleasure, for the blessing. This is yashrabu biha al-muqarrabun. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from al-muqarrabun. So inshallah ta'ala, we have actually appreciated the two levels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the paradise. You have al-abrar and you have al-muqarrabun. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave the discussion of the continuation of Surah Al-Mutaffifin for next week, because it's sort of now we moved on to a different passage. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave that discussion for next week. We'll conclude the surah and hopefully begin with Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And just to tie these three surah up, just keep this in mind, that Surah Al-Infitar, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, and Surah Al-Inshiqaq are three surah that are continuous and connecting with each other. Right? Surah Al-Infitar is speaking about the angels that write in this book that's on your left and right. Surah Al-Mutaffifin is speaking about where this record and this book is stored. Surah Al-Inshiqaq is speaking about when the books are given out. Right? فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ وَمَا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. Right? So subhanAllah, you can just see the flow in these three surahs. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll leave this discussion for next week. Is there any questions before we conclude this session? Now, I'm sure there is questions, because some of you now after the lesson, they'll come and ask and make me really upset, because the question was very important. I would have liked to hear it in the classes, answer for everyone to hear. So if there's no question now, that means after salah or when I get up, there is no question.
Fadl. What's the difference between, like, what are the defining characteristics of the
Muqarrabun
as opposed to
Ahsan? See, I forgot to explain to you who Al-Muqarrabun was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. You see, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. What does this mean? The first of the very, very first, they're the Muqarrabun. The Muqarrabun means the closest to Allah. And who are the most closest to Allah? Allah says, As-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. The first of the very, very first. The companions. Those that rush to Islam. And anyone else that rushes to good also is from al-muqarrabun. Right? And let me just give you really what the difference between the Sahaba and us is. Of course, the difference is known. But just psychologically, what the difference is. There's a man that comes to his neighbor, knocks on the door, and this neighbor's been right next to him for so long. He tells him, "Oh neighbor, last night a messenger just came down to me, and he says to me that I've been chosen, and I'm the last prophet, and I've received revelation, and you're my neighbor, and I'm calling you to follow me for the rest of your life, until you die. And by the way, I went to my family and they rejected me. They think I'm crazy. And I'm telling you, you're willing to come." What do you think the response would be? I mean, if someone did this today to you now, what are you going to do? You're going to close the door. You're not even going to listen to another word he's going to speak. And on top of all this, he's going to tell you, "I went to my family and they rejected me." What's this guy on? This is what you're going to be thinking. Now this same scenario is what Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu went through. This is what happened. And what did he say? What did he look at the messenger and say, "Oh, look, you know, I'll think about it and I'll come back to you"? No. Immediately, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka rasulullah." Let's go for it. Whatever it is, you're the messenger, you are. You know, I have to change my whole lifestyle for this message. Let's go for it. What a difference. This is as-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon. You see how they rush towards Iman and rush towards the message. You know, one of us finds it really difficult to accept words like this. But those companions, they didn't hesitate. They heard this invite and they ran towards it. So that's why they received what they received. They were tortured. They were expelled out of their houses from Mecca. They went towards Medina. You know, migration with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many? There are a few only. There are a few in number. Subhanallah. This is their sacrifice. And this sacrifice, it gave them reward. It paid out for them at the end. Allah gave them. And He gave them even more. You know, as we read in Surah An-Naba long time ago, when we discussed in Surah An-Naba, عَطَاءً جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. A blessing that you cannot even count. We said عَطَاءً حِسَابًا, what it is. You know, you give, you keep giving someone until he says, man, I don't want anymore. That's it, leave it with you. You know, وَعَنْ عَطَاءً أَنْ حِسَابًا meant what? That everyone is given. You know, like in this world, you might see someone have something and you might feel some jealousy towards him, you know. You want that thing he had. Or has a car that's a bit better than you, has a watch better than you. And sort of you wish for it. But hisaba means that everyone is given so much that even you look at someone else, man, you don't even care about this. That's hisaba. Everyone will be that situation. So that's the difference between al-abrar, are people that came after, and al-muqarrabun, are they really, really closer to Allah because of their, yani basically being first in everything, rushing in everything when it comes to matters of deen and when it comes to matters of worship. You know, because in this world, you're faced with two matters. Islamic matters, worship matters, and worldly affairs. Right? So worship affairs and worldly affairs. We're taught in the Quran that when it comes to worship affairs, rush towards it. Don't even think about it. You know, worship doesn't need istikhara. You don't have to make istikhara, ya Allah. If it's good for me to pray sunnah after the salah, then make it easy for me. You don't need that. You know, you rush towards the good and the worship. What requires istikhara is the worldly affairs. And what requires istikhara means it requires to take your time. Right? So there's the difference. So you rush in this and you take your time in this. هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها. Easy in the world, the worldly affairs, easy, you know. But in this side here, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. You know, سَابِقُوا, سَارِعُوا, فَاسْتَبِقُوا. All this means rush and run when you hear of something good. You know, don't even give it two thoughts. Once you have this attitude, then hopefully you become from as-sabiqoon al-awwaloon, and that is, sorry, as-sabiqoon al-sabiqoon, and that is those that are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from al-muqarrabin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us students of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.